And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to another Hoops HD Under the Radar podcast, your source for everything and anything you want to know about teams that the media is generally not talking about. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, and joining me, as always, the Under the Radar puppet himself, David Griggs. David, how are you tonight?
Better than Northern Iowa, who the media shouldn't be talking about after that. Holy crap. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. But Dave, we actually wanted to start with some breaking news here. Two nights ago, we had was it Monday night? I guess I've lost track of time. That was two nights ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was two nights ago. This was unbelievable. This was happening as we were recording the Hoops HD report.
Right.
It was
we had
a huge
one of the most amazing overtime games of the season.
Yeah, it really was. I was shocked. It's one of the more surprising results. This isn't hyperbole. I don't think I've seen anything like that happen in 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
And then it hasn't happened in 20 years.
In fact, we have something, and we're talking about a great overtime game Monday night. We are not talking about Kansas-Oklahoma, though, because we're under the radar.
Right.
We are talking about Grambling State going out, and after getting down big early, they made a huge comeback, went to overtime, pulled out the absolutely amazing win over Alabama State at home. Back-to-back overtime wins at home to start SWAC play. The Grambling Tigers won the Centenary Award as the worst team in Division I basketball two out of the last 3 years.
Yes.
Are sitting here as we speak, 2-0 in the SWAC.
And it's the first time they've been 2-0 since 1994.
Correct.
In conference play. All kidding aside, a huge congratulations, and I'm actually being a little bit sincere here, to a program that finally has something good going for it, even if it's just temporary. I don't think they're going to ride this out and continue to contend towards the top for the top of the league, but at least the sunshine is finally shining on Grambling a little bit. I mean, this program, literally, what it's the worst Div 1 program or has been for the last 4 years collectively. It's not even
clear. Absolutely. They went 0 for 2013, they went 0 for the 2012-2013 season. They did not win a single D1 game during the 2015 calendar year. Last time they won back-to-back D1 games was winning their first two games in the 2011 SWAC tournament. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They beat non-D1 Jarvis Christian tonight. They've now won three straight games, also for the first time since that 2011 season.
And again, because your media bracketologist, at least a lot of your mainstream ones, might be projecting Grambling in. So, wow.
Yeah, right now in a three-way first-place tie along with Texas Southern and Jackson State on top of the SWAC, but it really is an amazing story, and I don't think that they can keep it up. But if they somehow do, if they somehow can put together 8, 9, 10 wins in SWAC play this season, this is going to be one of the most amazing stories of the entire year.
Oh well, that is a huge turnaround for them if they're able to do that.
I mean, if you look at the power rating numbers, KenPom still has them at 348 out of 351. So obviously their numbers are not coming through there. But
yeah,
but 5 wins on the season. This is they could not lose another game. Sorry, not win another game the rest of the season, and this will still be the best, maybe the best season we've seen them have in a few in years.
Yeah, probably so.
But we are sincere. Congratulations to this Grambling team. It is a huge story and it's huge news. Out of the SWAC, and for the second time this season already, we've started the show with SWAC, which I don't think we'd ever done in any year before this.
Yes, and some other news. Are we just starting with the SWAC?
Well,
because we did have some other news out of there, and it is kind of disappointing news, at least by Centenary Award standings. Has Mississippi Valley State blown their chances at winning the Centenary Award? Perhaps not, but they did blow their chances in perhaps having the award named after them.
Yeah, Mississippi Valley State had a shot to do something historic this year, to go 0-33. Yes. No team has ever lost 33 games in a regular season. They won a home game over Arkansas Pine Bluff the other night. Now they have a win. And but here's another amazing SWAC stat that came out of that Mississippi Valley State win. As we sit here right now, there are, I believe, six or seven teams in Division I that are winless against D1 opponents. Everybody has at least one win against non-D1, but or against D1 or non-D1. But against D1 opponents, there's still a handful of teams without a win. There are no SWAC teams in that category.
Which is odd. Normally you're six or seven, of SWAC five teams. Out of the six are from the SWAC.
Right. So, David, do you have a front runner now for the Centenary Award?
I still got to think it's Mississippi Valley State. I still think they have it in them. They might not lose 33, but they might lose 32.
I'm actually looking at a team over in the MEAC, the Delaware State Hornets. They picked up their first win of the season, beating Summit 93-44 this week, still without a D1 win. Really have not looked good in a single game this year. Stuff like losing by 20 points at San Francisco, by more than 20 points to UC Riverside, by 14 points to that was only 6 points to Delaware, but they have not looked good. They're the team that I'm kind of looking at here for the Centenary Award right now.
Right, and it might not be unanimous. It has been all but 1 year, though.
Yeah, and the 1 year was not unanimous. It was actually a very controversial, but we'll get more into that as we move along. Right. We still got 2 months left before we talk about that seriously.
Right,
and let's actually, Dave, I want to hit one other piece of news and notes before we go through the rest of the conferences here, and that was a bit of news that we missed here, and we need to be chastised for it. The Pacific Tigers, we'd heard about what was going on with their program and the NCAA investigation. About 2.5-3 weeks ago, they did self-impose a postseason ban for this year, and we kind of failed to recognize that here on our podcast.
Yeah, we failed to recognize it on our podcast, and the other thing is that we failed to, and this was extremely grossly negligent, we failed to update our survival board. Had we not done that, I don't think it would have happened, but it's possible that the committee may have taken them by mistake, despite the ban.
And if any committee members were sitting at home making a bracket for themselves, they may have accidentally put Pacific in.
Yes.
The Tournament Survival Board, if you look on our website, there is an NCAA Tournament Survival Board link right on there. Let me see, in fact, if maybe we can actually show this to you in half a second here. I'm going to possibly pull it up on our screen. Maybe not. Here we go. If you could probably see that on my screen right now.
It's black right now, but let's see. It's not sure. Oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is. Okay. I think.
And there you see it. This is our NCAA Tournament Survival Board. You see it now has been updated as of January 4th, and you'll see the list of teams that are ineligible. On there is Pacific due to their postseason ban, leaving us with 340 teams remaining because Grand Canyon was reinstated.
Yes. Now we're assuming that Grand Canyon will get the waiver. We'll get to that certainly here in a little bit, the Lopes waiver movement. But I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, you know,
if something happens and that waiver does not come through, this number would actually be 339. But until that final decision is made, there are 340 teams eligible for the NCAA tournament and eligible to potentially win it all.
Yeah, Pacific not among them. So self-imposing a ban, in all seriousness, Pacific self-imposing a ban on making the postseason is sort of like me self-imposing a ban on myself that I'm not allowed to win the lottery this week. they would have had to have won the West Coast Conference tournament to get any sort of berth, NIT or anything. And that just wasn't, or I guess if they would have finished in first, but that was highly unlikely. So really, it's in the grand scheme of things, no one's going to notice anyway.
I guess it was a little better than Southern Miss, who was, I think, had already been mathematically eliminated from being qualified to the Conference USA tournament last year when they announced their ban, their self-imposed ban. A little better this year, Southern Miss announced their self-imposed ban at the start of the season. But let's go through what we like to do here on Under the Radar shows is go through all the conferences, Under the Radar conferences in alphabetical order. And David, why don't you fill us in again on what it means to be under the radar?
Well, there are essentially, of course, the five power conference, the SEC, ACC, Big 10, Big 12, and Pac-12. And then there are, in addition to that, four conferences that are regular multi-bid leagues, that being the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, and the American. Although the Mountain West, probably not a multi-bid league this year. In fact, there's probably some under-the-radar leagues that are ahead of it. But generally speaking, those are the multi-bid leagues. So anyone in those nine leagues we consider to be on the radar, and also anyone from outside of those leagues that plays their way into the top 25. Gonzaga, for instance, Wichita State when they were there. Those teams are not under the radar either. If you're in the rankings, you're on the radar. So under the radar is anyone, essentially it's any unranked team that's not in a regular multi-bid league.
Exactly. And which means that we do have 23 of these conferences that we need to go through. And we always like to start over in the America East, where I personally think that one team is starting to look a lot better than everybody else here, and that's the Stony Brook team.
Especially now that, I mean, the conference play, it's kind of, just now getting underway, but Stony Brook is probably looking like the best team. They've won this league before. They finished first before. They've hosted the championship game before. They've had a lead in the championship game with less than a minute to go before. The one thing they have not done is won the championship and made the NCAA tournament. But here they are again, one of the front runners.
Right, yeah. In fact, out of the nine teams in this league, only four of them have ever been to the NCAA tournament, with Albany, Vermont, UMBC, and Binghamton. And UMBC and Binghamton will not be talking about this year. Albany and Vermont, yeah. I think we will be as the season goes along, though. I think Albany is the second best team. But again, I am leaning on the Stony – I'm on the Stony Brook bandwagon here as far as who I think is going to win this league at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Atlantic Sun just got underway with its first conference game tonight as North Florida pretty much manhandled Stetson tonight, being Wednesday evening. But we're going to hit a major event coming up here on Saturday, David. NJIT, for the first time in school history, will be playing a conference game in a Division I conference that receives an automatic bid.
Yes, and it's a big deal for them. They've actually been somewhat disappointing this year. A modest 8-7, considering how good they were playing at the end of last year and what all they had coming back. I think we were expecting a little more from them. Did not look good tonight in your under-the-radar game of the day against Yale. But, again, the thing about it is it's a new day. It's a new season. No one in this league is inside the bubble. It's all so they're going to get one team in. And the other cool thing about this is that it's campus sites. NJIT, a very compact, hostile, exciting environment. So it's important that they do well in conference play, because if they finish first or second, it's that's going to be a hell of an advantage for them advancing in the conference tournament. It's one of the things that makes this conference so much fun.
Yeah, and while NJIT, a little disappointing here, 8-7 against D1, actually 9-7 overall, but none of their losses have been horrendous. Kent State, Columbia, Albany, Yale, these are all solid programs in terms of those leagues. And I think the only team that gives them any trouble in this conference that they're in here is going to be North Florida.
I agree with that. North Florida, again, a lot of fun to watch. Matt Driscoll has done a great job with that program. They're the team that ultimately I think is going to win the league. They don't have the strongest post play in the world, and that's putting it nicely. They really don't have any. But they are the team that's looked the best. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they finished first and then won the tournament again on their home court.
Over in the Big Sky, we had been talking a lot about Sacramento State when they went to Arizona State to start the season. I think I'm pretty much ready to write them off after they began the season by began Big Sky play losing at Portland State. Now lost three straight D1 games, four out of five D1 games that they've played. Right. I'm back looking at Weber State again at this point.
Weber State, and look out for Montana. Montana didn't have any big wins. Their record smelled really bad. But if you watch them play some individual games, they put up some I know this is faint praise, but they did put up some fights in some losing efforts, and they're off to a 2-0 start in conference play. And that would be important if this conference – or that would be a lot more important – last year than what it is this year because this conference changed their postseason format, which takes a lot of the stakes and storyline away from the regular season. And I think we need to make a concerted effort to spend less time talking about this conference and the Horizon League for the just a horrible administrative decision regarding that tournament.
Right. Well, I got to say, there's one other team we do have to very briefly mention here, also sitting at 2-0 in early play, is this Idaho team. But did you catch the name of that player that scored 18 points and hit 6 out of 8 three-pointers for Idaho when they went over Northern Colorado?
We need to move on to the next. So yes, congratulations. Congrats to Chad Sherwood. We're going to have to get him on the show.
We got to work on that. But yeah. Personally, I'm kind of rooting for Idaho here, but over in the Big South, High Point and Asheville are tied at both at 4-0 in early conference play. This High Point team, I can't say enough about what an incredible player John Brown is for them.
Oh yeah, and he's got quite a website. We need to link that if we remember in the article. It's something else. You sent that out, but yeah, real good starts for them and real good teams. High Point. Again, out of conference, they had the close loss at NC State, a game they really should have won. Asheville went up to Georgetown and won, which seemed really good at the time, but Georgetown might be under the radar themselves before we're done here. Radford also winning at Georgetown. Everybody in the Big South is winning at Georgetown. It's just the it thing to do this year. But yeah, this is such a fun league. I wish like hell they played the tournament at campus sites. I really, really do. Especially last year when we had 7 teams tied for first halfway through conference play. It was unbelievable.
I don't think we're going to have that this year. I do like this Asheville team. They had a nice home win over Winthrop tonight that they pulled out at the last second. Yeah. High Point actually was the one team off today in the conference. They'll be back and play over the weekend. Yeah. But I think that it's going to come down to those two teams.
Yeah,
I don't know that Radford gets back into it. I think Radford kind of played over their heads in that Georgetown game.
I agree with that. I'm not as big on Radford either. A little disappointed in Winthrop. And again, I know that we just talked about how good the teams are that they've lost to. But Winthrop was one of the teams that I thought that would be up there. And here they are 3 games back, only 4 games in.
Gee, they're doing better than Nebraska, though. Or is Nebraska doing better than them? I'm sorry.
Say that about 10 miles. Anyway.
The conference that is starting play tonight, no games have gone final yet as of when we're recording this, but it's the Big West. No conference games yet, but Hawaii and UC Irvine were the 2 best-looking teams in non-conference play.
I don't see that changing in conference play. Hawaii looks great at home. I think they're a top 25 caliber team on their floor, and I think that I don't know what they're like off their floor. They've only played 1 game off their floor, and it's to, I don't want to say who it was against.
It was a loss to a team that plays in Texas.
Texas Tech. Anyway, Hawaii and Irvine, if Hawaii wins, if Hawaii blows through this league, and I'm talking 1 or 2 conference losses, are they inside the bubble? I think they are. But you got to keep in mind, you're talking about winning 9 and 10 road games if you do that, and as of now, they've won 0.
Yeah, I don't think that they can do that. I do like this Irvine team. I think there's 2 other teams you got to keep an eye out here for in this conference, and that is UC Santa Barbara and Long Beach State.
Yeah.
UCSB went 6-7 against the number 5 strength of schedule in the country non-conference. Long Beach went 6-9 against the number 3 strength of schedule non-conference. These are teams that, although they don't have good overall records, played killer schedules, and I think that may pay off as we move into conference play here.
Yeah, well, I hope it paid off outside of conference play. They better have gotten paid playing those schedules. Essentially, they looked at what Hawaii did and did the complete opposite.
Hawaii, 197 strength of schedule. It could be worse. It could, there's another 100 or so worse than that. Over in the Colonial, I think this is a league conference we'll be talking a lot about this year because of the amount of good teams. The problem that the conference has is everybody's going to be knocking each other off, so it may end up being a one-bid league for that reason, although we've said all along that if somebody can run away with the Colonial and win it outright, maybe by two games outright, they might get on the bubble in that case.
Yeah, there are here we are two games into conference play, and only two teams have yet to lose. So, I mean, they've started beating each other up already. William and Mary, they were the team that I liked the most coming into the year. You know, starting off with really surprising loss at home to Towson.
Very surprising.
Yeah, and again, like, as much as I like William and Mary and I think their ceiling is high, good Lord, do they fail to play up to it a couple times. I mean, losing at Howard and then losing at home to Towson is just it's a good team that kind of blew an opportunity for itself.
They did bounce back with a nice win over College of Charleston, who had been one of the surprising stories non-conference this year. We kind of like them. You still got James Madison, Hofstra, Northeastern, maybe even UNC Wilmington in the mix here.
Yeah, Wilmington had an okay record, but, it was mostly against cupcakes. Hofstra has a little meat. They have the win against Florida State. Northeastern has a little meat. They have the win against Miami. That's a fantastic win. Only team that's won at Miami. But they had some bad losses to go along with it. And when I say bad losses, I want people to understand, I mean bad losses by at large inside the bubble standards, which is what we thought, or at least what I thought, we were looking at with this league. I thought we would get more than two teams in. We still might. But it isn't that they failed to win the big games. It's that they've lost some of the smaller ones. And that's what's killing Northeastern and William and Mary in particular right now.
Yeah, you look at Northeastern, a loss at Miami of Ohio, a loss at Western Michigan, a loss at Detroit. That takes away everything you gain by winning at Miami.
Yes, it does.
But let's keep moving on here. Down in the over in Conference USA, actually, David, it's kind of looked like it's going to be a four-team battle in this conference, and I don't know that anything I've seen so far has changed my opinion of that.
Maybe a
five-team battle here.
You have UTEP is off to a decent start. Louisiana Tech's pretty good. UAB winning eight in a row. Old Dominion with all the talent in the world. One of the bigger disappointments, not just in the league, but maybe in the country, Old Dominion this year. But here they are in conference play. They might turn it around. Middle Tennessee's good. Western Kentucky normally good, although kind of weak this year. And then you have the Southland. Below that.
Yeah, that's what I kind of meant by you have five, maybe these six teams.
Yeah.
There's such a gap between that and the other eight teams of this conference, the group that includes the Florida Internationals and the Charlottes and the Rice. I mean, those teams
are so bad. Southern Miss, don't forget them.
Southern Miss isn't even eligible, so they don't count. So.
San Antonio, one of the worst.
Yeah, but it's, as far as who is actually going to win this league, I'm still keeping an eye on this La Tech team. Mentioned UAB has that good winning streak, but Louisiana Tech's only losses at Memphis and at Ole Miss, two teams that are tiptoeing around the bubble line right now, I'll put it that way. And they have a nice win at Ohio State. They beat UT Arlington, only one of only two teams to have done that this year. I think that this is a team that is good enough to win this conference, although we've kind of said that about them the last few years, and they've always disappointed us.
Yeah, this year I wasn't expecting much out of them. I was impressed in the sense that I guess more surprised than impressed. They're a lot better than what I thought they would be, given how much talent they lost. And yeah, I think they have looked like the best team in this league, and partly because they've looked good, and partly because this league just isn't very good, honestly. It's really not. UAB's playing well, but they, again, if UAB or La Tech, if they win 26 or 27, especially UAB, and 25 of them are against sub-NIT teams, that's not going to get them in.
Over the horizon.
With the win at Ohio State, I think La Tech can land inside the bubble if they run the table.
Okay.
Just moving on, sorry.
All right, we're moving on to the Horizon League, though. I want to take a little bit of issue with something that you and Joby both said during our Hoops HD report this past week. I don't know if you recalled or not, but we were discussing the Oakland Grizzlies.
Yeah,
The comments was made again that this is a good team. They have lost at Colorado State, at Southern Illinois, and now they go out and start conference play or the second game of conference play on Monday night, losing at home to Youngstown State. David, this is not a good Oakland team. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, they lost. It was in overtime. It was a I think it was a last second shot.
198. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They gave 100 points to Youngstown State at home.
Well, had the game been canceled, we'd still be talking about what a good Oakland team this is. Yeah, you can't. I mean, all kidding aside, they went out there and you know really competed against Michigan State, had a chance to win it actually. Competed really well against Virginia, and blasted Cleveland State, and then they lose at home to – it's just inexcusable. And I know everyone has off nights. Everyone has mulligans, but still, you can't that's just not a good loss. It's hard to sit there and argue that you're a good program that can keep up with Valpo, excuse me, if you can't even beat Youngstown State.
If you can't beat a sub-200 team on your home court, I think Valpo – the only question I have to ask in this Horizon League is, does Valpo lose any games at all during conference play?
I mean, if it is, it's because they have an off night. It's not because anyone's better than they are.
The Ivy League, one of the few conferences that even after tonight will not have started its conference play yet. Yale with a nice home win over NJIT. I'm liking this Yale team a lot more just from what I've seen during non-conference play at the moment.
Yeah, the two teams that I like based on how they're playing now, not necessarily the whole body of work, which out-of-conference body of work doesn't really matter in this league since there's no tournament. I like Harvard and I like Yale. I mean, I think they've been both playing really well. And Princeton, too, a little bit.
Princeton, too. I also think we got to keep an eye on this Columbia team. I think we could have a real free-for-all here in the Ivy League, maybe even that outside shot of more than a two-way tie, which has happened twice before. There has been a three-way tie one time in the mid-90s, and you end up having basically a semifinal and a championship game, if that's the case. But
I don't think it's going to be one or two teams so overwhelming everybody else and running away from it. I think there's four teams that are all competitive that can all beat each other, especially at home. And I think it's going to be an actual fun race where it's not Harvard. It's not like Harvard and Yale or Harvard and Princeton or Harvard and Penn overwhelming everybody else and right. only seeing one or two competitive games all year. At the top of the show, Chad does this to me every week. He starts the show without – this is the Hoops HD report. He starts the show without telling me he started the show. And, what you have advised me to call an unfortunate incident with Dartmouth mascot.
if you want to go back and check out our Hoops HD report, just watch the first 2 minutes of it. David's not allowed to go to – it's been banned from the state of New Hampshire, which I think – what's left, Alaska?
Maybe, yeah.
maybe. We're out of the
– They're starting to tell me that I just have to stay on the couch all the time.
Metro Atlantic, the Monmouth Hawks, of course. We've been talking a lot about them all season. They did get the revenge from their loss at Canisius by pounding them 81-66 in their conference home opener this week.
Yeah.
Lost last week to Army is still kind of haunting them a little bit, though, I guess.
It is. Now, Chad, you're the host, and sometimes as the host, you're a panelist as well, but you don't exactly get to call on yourself. So we got into this a little bit during the Hoops HD report about Monmouth's current projected seed, our John Titel, who guesses the committee. We do two different kinds of brackets, is guessing that the committee would have Monmouth on the 12 line. And then our staff bracket, at least we're going to be building one tomorrow, John Stalica had them on the 11 line. I would like to get your thoughts on, because it's going to be interesting. I'm bringing my battle gear tomorrow, and I know I might not win. It's a committee, but I am arguing a lot more for this Monmouth team than what a lot of other people seem, not just us, but nationally, seem to think of Monmouth. How the hell is this an 11 seed?
Well, David, let me tell you here, because I'm going to kind of defend our colleagues at this point. First of all, they have a loss at Canisius and a loss at Army. Those are both sub-150 losses. They are basically what you call a bad loss, albeit on the road. And I understand that Army has a shot to win the Patriot League, although they did lose tonight at home to Lafayette. But Canisius, obviously a bad loss. The other two losses at USC, definitely forgivable. Neutral court to Dayton, definitely forgivable. Now, but let's look at those huge wins that we've been talking about, and there were four of them. At UCLA, neutral court over Notre Dame, neutral court over USC, at Georgetown. Georgetown win, everybody wins at Georgetown. Radford wins at Georgetown. UNC Asheville wins at Georgetown. I don't know how much credit you give to that Georgetown win the way the Hoyas have been playing recently. UCLA win. UCLA is probably not going to be in the field that we build tomorrow night when we build our bracket.
But they still—it's still the only home game they've lost.
It's still the only home game they've lost. It was the first game of the season, but it's not a win over a tournament team. Notre Dame, USC, both very bubblish teams. 2 weeks ago, that looked like four wins over four solid NCAA tournament teams. It's not looking like that anymore, and that may be what costs you from going from a 7 or 8 seed, which is where I think they were, down to maybe the 10 or the 11 line.
I mean, I can see that, but the one thing I just cannot get over is just the sheer volume of wins away from home. I mean, categorically, that is remarkable.
That is remarkable. Now, obviously, they have a lot more road games to go still in conference. It's going to be interesting to see what they do next Friday night at Iona, what they do February 1st at Siena. Those are the two conference games I'm really targeting. But if they can't win at Canisius, are they going to struggle with their game Monday night at Fairfield? Are they going to struggle at Quinnipiac? Are they going to struggle at Ryder? I think it's too early to say if they really need to.
Well, I think
lose no more than two more games the rest of the way before the conference tournament.
I think they need to finish first to be safely inside.
Absolutely have to finish first, no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know. You just kind of hate to see. Well, you need to play people. I mean, this is the criticism, and they've always said it, and I've believed it. You need to play people, and you need to play on the road. Well, here's a team that did both in abundance, and I just think.
But what the reward for that is that you get in the field, and I will strongly argue that if Iona wins the conference tournament, or Siena, who hosts it, wins the conference tournament, but Monmouth finishes in first place with what they did non-conference, I'm going to be yelling and screaming that they belong in the field, but I'm not going to be yelling and screaming necessarily that they belong as a 5 seed. They may belong in the first 4. They may belong as 11 or a 10. That's where they're probably going to end up.
Yeah. And it'll probably make a little – it'll probably become a little more clear as we go on. Right. But, wow. Okay.
Let's move on. We've spoken enough Metro Atlantic. Over the Mid-American, though, there's a team that I'm starting to pay a lot of attention to here. They've now run off, I believe, 9 straight victories, and that's this Akron team.
Yeah, the Zippy. Zippy, another great mascot.
Zippy the keg?
Yes. They're trucking, but here's the other thing that's about all 9 of their wins. None were against a team with a winning record. Iona.
They beat Iona. They beat that Santa Barbara team that, although they don't have a winning record, has been playing well, and I think will have a winning record. Buffalo had a good season last year, if that counts. But their losses were at Green Bay, not that good, and at Villanova, absolutely excusable. And they did pick up the win at Arkansas, which was a nice win earlier in the season. Yeah. I just like the way they're playing right now, and I really think that this is your favorite going through the MAC season right now.
Yeah, I like Kent State as well. I like Northern Illinois more so of just – I don't like them to win the league, but I like the year they're having and the direction that program is going, especially considering how poor they were. But this is a fun conference. It's by under-the-radar standards, I think it's – the one that's packed with the most rivalries, minus maybe the Northeast Conference, but these are a little bit of a bigger scale. Akron didn't really lift any weight. Most of the time we're used to seeing teams play really hard out of conference schedules in this league. Akron and Kent, it seems like we're among the teams that didn't play the kinds of schedules that we're used to seeing them playing. But because of how good a lot of these teams are on their home courts, I do think that if Akron can run through it, you have to look at them very closely.
I'm not going to make an argument that even if Akron wins the conference, that they deserve an at-large bid. I just, you know, I think by MAC standards, they're playing well. At least by 2016 MAC standards, they're playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if they go undefeated in conference, you can look at them for an at-large bid. But, you know, they are setting it with a 302 strength, the schedule of the country, which is what you alluded to earlier. And that doesn't earn you an at-large bid, in my opinion.
It shouldn't.
The MEAC, David, what do you want to say about it?
It's bad. Okay. I hope they enjoy Dayton.
Okay. I think we still both like Hampton as the best team in that conference.
Yeah, I certainly do.
We wanted to get to a game in the Missouri Valley Conference that we just watched before we started this show tonight, and really a great game between Wichita State and Evansville at Wichita. Excited for the return matchup that's coming up at Evansville. I think this could be another great game this season.
Yeah, I really had the sense that Evansville really needed this one. I know they had the bloated record, but they really needed some meat. But even though it's January, this really did have a high-stakes game feel to it. Wichita being a strong team, but that has a lot of ground to make up from the injuries early in the year. Tonight's win was big. And then, you know, Evansville, who, while has a good record, needed some wins of note, and winning at Wichita certainly would have been. But a really good game, two really good teams. Both should be in the discussion, and who knows, both might end up getting in.
Yeah, I mean, Evansville's problem is going to be that strength of schedule again. They're 257 right now in the country. They're really going to have to run through this conference and probably get the home win over Wichita coming up in February here.
Yeah, probably so. A team that I liked a lot as recently as a week ago, despite some toe stubs, I do not like much at all. Northern Iowa, we alluded to it at the top of the show. Just what in the world? One of the most inconsistent teams in the country, really.
Right. Now they've now lost two games. They lost at Southern Illinois. They lost tonight at Missouri State by a point. I think we can write off this Northern Iowa team. Yes, two great wins, but that's it. And there's too many bad losses there.
Maybe they could sell them to, you know, Evansville and Wichita.
David, what do you do about the? What are you looking at with this Southern Illinois team? Are you looking at them 14-2 overall, 3-0 in conference, beating nobody? Their best win is over that Oakland team that I just told you how much I hate them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's about 70 or 80 teams that are behind them in strength of schedule, so that's pretty good.
And we alluded to this last week. They should be 16-0 with this schedule. Their loss is UTEP and SIU Edwardsville.
Yeah, they really should be. A bloated it's smoke and mirrors. You have 14 wins, and none of them were against NIT caliber teams.
Yeah. I guess we can move along to the Northeast Cuff.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. No, none of them are. Air Force certainly isn't. Let's move on to the Northeast.
Let's move on to the Northeast Conference. Is there someone you like here? Well, you got three teams that are 2-0 right now: SFPA, Mount St. Mary's, and Bryant College. I know you like this Wagner team a little bit. It's the only team with them and LIU Brooklyn both have winning records overall.
Yeah, I kind of liked Wagner. Bryant, again, I was actually kind of disappointed in Bryant. I liked them coming into the season, and I realize out of conference you can't read too much into it, especially in a league like the Northeast that's even towards the bottom of the under the radar in terms of strength. But I thought Bryant would do a little better than that. But again, you know, they won just two out of conference games, and I kind of wasn't paying that much attention to them, but here they are 2-0. Was Bryant, if I remember, was your preseason pick, weren't they?
No, I don't believe they were this year. I believe they were last year. I went with Robert Morris this year, and they are sitting here 0-2 and 2-13 overall. So maybe I should have said Bryant was my pick. It's going to be a fun conference. It's going to be a fairly even conference, other than maybe Central Connecticut State down there in the bottom. But I don't know that. You know, we're playing for anything here other than a trip to Dayton.
Probably not. But again, it, the rivalries in this league are a lot of fun, especially the two Brooklyn schools. I like the atmosphere. It's those small, compact gyms. When the students get back, it really is a fun league to watch. Yeah. And the tournament's fun. But yeah, again, we're looking at. I think this league's ceiling is a 16 seed that's inside the first four. if they even get that.
And they'll need some help with a few upsets at other conferences.
Right, yeah. There.
Another one, we've talked about what a disappointment Old Dominion has been this season. I think the other most disappointing team in the country has been this Belmont team over the OVC.
Absolutely.
I think the best team in the conference, which is what Old Dominion does not have, but really just been a disappointing non-conference.
Yeah, it has, especially with how well they were playing at the end of the year last year and with all they had coming back. It's a little bit sort of inexplicable why they're as poor as they are. And they started off right. They won they won at Marquette to open the year. And since then, they're 7-6 since winning that game. I believe that's right. And they've, not only have they not really beaten anyone other than Valpo, perhaps, they've lost to some teams that you just losing at Cleveland State. Good grief.
The home win over Valpo was the only saving grace here. They really are going to need to run through this conference again, though. I don't think there's anybody else in the conference that can really challenge them. I just don't see it in the rest of the OVC.
Yeah.
A conference that I think is going to be one of the most excited conferences again for the second straight year is the Patriot League. And I emailed you this comment earlier. Loyola came out with a huge win at home tonight. As a result of that victory over Lehigh, they are now 3-0 in conference. Loyola went 1-10 non-conference against a lousy strength of schedule.
Right.
And they're sitting here tied with Bucknell for first place.
Yeah, one of the disappointments early in conference play has been Army. For the second year in a row, they looked strong out of conference, and we thought that they would be one of the front runners. Here they are 1-2.
Both losses coming at home. Bucknell and Lafayette. Really inexplicable.
Yeah, and again, it's just why? I don't know why this team, what happens to them when they finally start conference play, but they need to get it figured out.
Yeah, but right now, Bucknell and Loyola 3-0. I know you like this Bucknell team heading into the season. They're playing like it now that they've reached conference play. I don't think this Loyola team is going to stay up there. They've lost this to teams like Mount St. Mary's on the season already, so I think it's more of a little bit of a fluke there with Loyola. But congratulations to them in first place right now.
Yeah.
Let's move into the Southern Conference, where we do have a team that is a team I think we both agree is inside the bubble right now.
Yeah, Chattanooga. Like them a lot. And, they had a real big win last night against a pretty good Mercer team, or what we thought was a pretty good Mercer team. And it was – I mean, they just came out breathing fire. Mercer came back to cut it, I think, to 10 at one point. But, I mean, they just jumped on them. Chattanooga is pretty good.
Chattanooga is really good. I do like this team. They got a trip to Wofford coming up this next few days here. That will be interesting because Wofford's been the class of the conference the last few years, is off to a 2-0 start, but they're 2-0 is against two of the weaker teams in the conference. So I don't think that Wofford's going to remain up near the top of the standings very long.
I don't either. Samford is much improved, but I don't think they got what it takes to stay with Chattanooga. In fact, they might get flattened if they played them. The Citadel, another program that's pretty improved. So some teams a little bit on the rise here, but Chattanooga, there just hasn't – if anyone was going to stay with them and keep pace with them, I thought it was going to be Mercer. And after last night – and I know the game was at Chattanooga. One more thing, Chattanooga, you need more fans at the game. You have a team that's inside the bubble. They should be selling out that arena. And last night it looked like it was only two-thirds full. But, again, I just don't – I wouldn't be surprised if Chattanooga won out. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, the game that I probably circle look at Chattanooga's schedule is the game at Mercer February 8th. That may be the only game that they lose until the NCAA tournament. That includes the SoCon tournament as well. So they are actually going to be favored in every game. Actually, they're favored in every probably favored in every game other than that Mercer game the rest of the way. So we'll see what happens. Southland Conference, the real Southland, not the one that's part of Conference USA. SFA after the 2-0 start, 9-5 overall. Yeah. They're probably going to win the conference by two or three games, take the conference tournament, lose the first round, David.
Yeah, and then these brain dead people in the media will, for the third year in a row, be talking about, oh my God, what a great SFA team this is. I mean, you know, 20, I guess if they win the conference tournament, they would be, 30 and 5.
Yeah, they would be, they'd be 20, if they win out all the way,
yeah,
it would be 27 and 5.
Okay, 27 and 5. And I guess that's including the conference tournament.
Including the conference, yeah, well, they would get a bye into the semifinals, so they only have two conference.
Oh, okay, yeah, games. I'm sorry. I can't count. And I've been drinking, so I can't keep up. But, and again, everyone will be talking about what a fantastic team this Stephen F. Austin is and how – and they're not. All they've done for the last – with the exception of the win against VCU, which is still utterly surprising to me, all they've done is proven that they can beat up on sub 200 teams.
And not D1 teams, which they played four of this year.
Yes, again, four again.
Okay. We actually already discussed SWAC at the top of the show. If we're talking about teams that could be on the bubble, though, in the Summit League, this South Dakota State team, not quite the profile that a Chattanooga has, but a lot of wins, including a win at Minnesota, a win at TCU. These are, power conference schools, but the bad power conference schools, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they're sitting here at 11-3. And again, if they're an outright first place finisher and they're at or near the top 40 of the RPI, I think they're going to get a look. Going to Oral Roberts, going to North Dakota State, I mean, you could make a case that they should get some credit for winning those, because although those aren't teams that are inside the bubble, they are teams that are solid at home. I think that they have maybe one more strike. I think if they win out, they're in for sure. If they lose one game during the regular season and then another in the conference tournament, they'll get a serious look. But anything short of that, I think they'll need the automatic bid.
And when we look at what they did non-conference, a bad loss at UMKC, and that's going to hurt them. A loss at Weber State. We talked about Weber State being the best team of the Big Sky, so I don't think that hurts them quite as much.
The loss at UMKC really does. And they did beat Minnesota, but again, they're not going to get a whole lot of credit for that.
Let's move over to the Sun Belt, where we've been talking about two teams all season, and I'm almost surprised that they both start out 2-0 in conference play. I kind of had the suspicion that things would suddenly change once we got to conference play in the Sun Belt here, but Little Rock and Arlington both held server for the first two games, 12-1 overall for Little Rock, 11-2 for Arlington, both with some big non-conference wins.
Yeah, and I think, again, if they blow through the league together, I think there's room for both of them.
I agree. I mean, doing a field right now, I would have them both in.
Yeah.
I think I still like Arlington's profile a little bit better, even though they have the two losses, because I think the Ohio State and the Memphis wins are slightly better wins than Little Rock has.
Probably so. And again, like, had Little Rock gotten the one at Texas Tech, I mean, obviously that bumps them up a little bit, but I agree. Arlington's wins are a little better. It'll be fun when they go at it against each other. I think there's room for both of them. And again, they went out and played.
Okay. January 23rd is the game at Arlington. February 25th is the game at Little Rock between these two. Yeah. But keep an eye out for both Louisiana schools, Georgia State. These are teams that have shots at pulling the upset during conference play as well. And that could play spoiler for these teams.
Oh my God. Quick aside here, Chad, just real quick while we're recording this, we defined under the radar at the top of the show. Can you just confirm that Oregon State is not under the radar? Cause here they are at home in a big conference game after a big rivalry win. No one's there.
Well, they are playing Stanford, but, yeah, I don't know why. Oregon State fans, you have a good team this year. Get out there. Get out there.
Anyway, all right, sorry. I just wanted to confirm that they're not under the radar.
Let's stay out west. We did mention Pacific at the top of the show for the West Coast Conference, but I think we got to start really talking about the St. Mary's team that we've kind of been blowing off for the last few weeks here. Probably for the start of the season, we've been blowing them off, but because of them having gone on the road twice, losing at Cal, winning a conference game at Santa Clara. But They're 13-1, David.
They are. They're 13-1.
And let me throw some numbers at you here also. RPI 40, KenPom 18, BPI 18, adjusted defensive number 84 in the country. Their offense is 13th ranked in the country.
Well, yeah, and again, they've racked that up against weak defenses and weak offenses. I mean, those efficiency ratings. I'm not sold on them. They did themselves no favors. They made no case for themselves other than that they can beat sub-NIT teams at home. Irvine, decent win. Played really well out at Cal, and this is a good Cal team. But the discussion is the same. I mean, until they have a true test on the road and actually win it, I don't think we can take them overly seriously. Now, they may be good enough. I mean, there's BYU, there's Gonzaga. They play them both four times. I think they need to win at least two of them, and I think one of them has to be on the road against one of those teams.
Well, the upcoming games here, it's not going to be until January 21st they get Gonzaga at home. They've already beaten BYU at home. At BYU February 4th, at Gonzaga February 20th, and circle this one Tuesday, March 1st, home against Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
We know Randy Bennett loves to play that non-conference game after the end of conference schedule, so he did that again this year.
Okay.
Is there anything to talk about with this BYU team?
He should have gone there. He really should have. Not really, no.
Okay. Last but not least, in terms of conferences, we just mentioned the team of the people. David, is there anybody better than Grand Canyon in the WAC?
It's not even close. It's just sort of like, I mean, again, no one is anywhere close. I wouldn't be surprised. I do think that they'll trip up and lose a conference game, but no one is.
Well, I do have to say this, and I hate to say anything negative about the Lopes, but if they got a full waiver that allowed them to be eligible to both automatic or at-large bids, their 323 strength of schedule kind of concerns me a little bit.
Oh, not well. Those are just. I mean, you gotta like sort of peel back the onion and look at things a little more closely. Let's see, like. You know, the 323 strength of schedule. Well, the reason is you can't hold this against the Lopes. The teams they play just aren't very good. It's not their fault. It's the teams they played for. Okay.
There was a little bit of good news out of Lopes here. The Pac-12 was not very happy with the Lopes, given that they were a for-profit school, and actually told Pac-12 schools not to schedule them.
This was within days of the launch of the Pac-12 network, by the way.
Yeah, that ban has now been lifted, and the Lopes just scheduled a trip to play Arizona on the road next season, so they will be at the big boys in their state there.
Yeah, and that's a good game. I'm glad that got scheduled.
But on that note, we want to take a quick look at some of the upcoming games, and then we'll get to our top 10. Coming up on Thursday night, a good game out of the Colonial. Hofstra is going to be at Charleston, potentially our under-the-radar game of the day there. And UTEP at Middle Tennessee in Conference USA. But I want to also Old Dominion at La Tech. Two good Conference USA games coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, against two. Old Dominion, a team we thought would be a lot better this year than what they were, but they could still end up being a force in the conference and could still win the conference. But you mentioned it's a 5 or 6 team race, and those are four of the teams.
But I actually wanted to mention a game coming up tomorrow night in the WAC that does not involve the Lopes. The renewal of the rivalry again, although it never really took off after the big fight, but New Mexico State's at Utah Valley tonight, the site where we had a couple of years ago one of the ugliest incidents after a game.
It could have been a lot worse. What was funny is I had watched that entire game start to finish because it involved first place in the conference. I think they were tied for it or a game within each other. And what ended up, Utah Valley had stormed the court. And essentially, was it during the handshake? I don't remember.
Right before the handshake, Casey Ross Miller, who ended up transferring and playing for Auburn last year, took the ball and threw it right at Coach Hunter's son. It was His name slips my mind here. It was at the very end of the 2014 season. It was Holton Hunsicker, the coach's son, threw the ball right at him intentionally and sparked a fight. But with the fans storming the court at the same time, fans got involved in it as well, and it started getting really ugly.
Yeah, and again, the assistant coaches in New Mexico State did a hell of a job, like, getting the players out of there. And I missed it. The game was streamed online, and I was watching it. And right as the game had ended, we were getting ready to record Under the Radar. In fact, it's probably in the archives somewhere. And, you know, we set it up, and we sit down, and you're like, could you believe the end of the game? And I was like, what? So I had no idea what had happened.
A few more games coming up. Coming up Friday night, David, your chance to prove me wrong is Valpo will be at Oakland and probably what you think will be their toughest Horizon League test of the season, obviously.
I think it will be. I'm disappointed in Oakland, but I do still think that this is the toughest test for them.
Another good Conference USA game coming up on Saturday. UTEP is going to be at UAB. Yeah. We mentioned that NJIT's first A Sun game is coming up as well. Wichita State's at Southern Illinois, coming off of the Evansville win. If this Southern Illinois team is for real, we're going to find out on Saturday.
Yeah, and they'll have some momentum built up. It should be a good game. It should be a good atmosphere, but I still think that it's smoke and mirrors.
Good Colonial matchup coming up with Northeastern at William & Mary on Saturday.
A great one, yeah.
And a great rivalry game in our first Ivy League game of the season. Princeton is at Penn.
Do they do bookends?
The other game will be at the end of the season between the two of them.
Is it just the two of them, or is that how they do all the so-called rivalries?
No, actually, the other three rivalry matchups get played as the first two games of the season. So, for example, Harvard and Dartmouth will play each other twice before they play anybody else. Same with Yale and Brown, same with Columbia and Cornell.
Okay.
Huge game to pay attention to on Saturday. The Grambling State Tigers will be in Baton Rouge to take on the Southern Jaguars, going for 3-0 in conference play for the first time since 1988.
I am pumped. Okay. Yeah, we're going to keep our eye on that.
They actually started off 4-0 in 88, so we're going to keep
an eye on that. Southern being one of the better teams in the conference. So.
Right. Army at Loyola, interesting Patriot League matchup, although probably every Patriot League matchup is going to be a good one this year. Going back to the WAC, New Mexico State's going to be at the Lopes on Saturday as well. So if New Mexico State, who's the team that a lot of people are projecting to win the WAC this season, or at least to win the WAC automatic bid, this is a chance for the Lopes to show them exactly what's going on.
Exactly.
Not much of a schedule on Sunday, but on Monday, a couple games I want to note. Monmouth back on the road at Fairfield. We mentioned that Chattanooga at Wofford game. And if this Tigers win Saturday, 4-0 come Sunday at Alcorn State.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you're not with me on that?
No.
just one other game I want to mention coming up next Tuesday. A pretty interesting game in the MAC, actually. That Akron team we talked about is at Central Michigan. Central Michigan, the team we liked heading into this season.
Yeah, I know. That is a good game. I've certainly just written off Central Michigan. They've been extremely disappointing, so much so that we forgot to mention how disappointing they were because we had forgotten about them. But they're up there with Old Dominion and some other teams that have just been – Belmont being another one. But Akron, again, like you said, I agree with you. Them and Kent are the teams that I've liked the most in this conference.
Well, on that note, David, do we want to move on to our top 10 lists here?
I believe so.
All right. Well, I have, off of the nice win tonight over Evansville, I now have Wichita State number one. Even though the record and maybe even the resume doesn't quite support it, I think of all these underrated teams, they are the best team.
Yeah, and I think it will support it by the end. I had them at number two. I still have Monmouth at number one.
I do have Monmouth.
So many road wins.
Yeah, I have Monmouth at two. I have Valpo at three and Chattanooga at four.
Yeah, I had those two, the same team. And then I have Little Rock. I still really like them. I know that Arlington's paper's a little better, but I really like Little Rock's team. Evansville, I was actually moved them up a little bit tonight. You've been big on them this whole time. I have them up to number six.
Yeah, I have those are my next three: Evansville, Little Rock, and Arlington. I think it's an 8, 9, 10 where you and I may differ. And I moved into my top 10 for the first time this season at number 8, this St. Mary's team, just because I can't ignore the record. They do have a win over Stanford. They do have the win over BYU now. That's why I have them there.
Yeah, I'm still not, I mean, until they start winning true road games, I just can't think. I mean, because everybody else on this list has.
Well, I had St. Mary's at 8, Grand Canyon at 9, and South Dakota State at 10.
Yeah, I had South Dakota State at 8. I still like them. I have the Lopes at 9. I have Louisiana Tech at 10. I like how they've been playing more and more, and they seem to be improving as the year goes along.
Yeah, I did give an honorable mention to them. I also gave a little shout-out here to both Hawaii, who, without losing, fell off my top 10 list just because I think that St. Mary's is the team that moved up there and kind of overtook them with the home win over BYU. And I'm really taking a look at this Akron team now. They're a team that's on the verge of breaking the top 10 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, anything else you want to bring up here tonight, David? Any other final thoughts?
No, just a little news and notes. We're going to be doing our first, a bracket rundown where we collectively get together. I believe you're going to be the arbiter and we're going to be arguing, and then if you know what you're doing, you're just going to agree with my assessments, and we're going to build the seed list tomorrow.
Yeah, this is
the first time we've done this year.
We're going to be recording this tomorrow night. It'll be up on the site either late tomorrow night or on Friday morning, but we are actually going to have our whole panel here, or a bunch of our panel together, arguing out one through, at least through all the at-large bids, out who belongs and where they belong. And following the show, we will actually take those teams and bracket them up and actually post a bracket as well.
Yes.
That will be on the site. So when you do watch it, though, don't scroll down and look at the bracket until you have to watch the show, because you're going to – it'll ruin the suspense. But on that note, I want to thank everybody for joining us again, and we're going to talk to you again tomorrow night.
Everyone, you're welcome. Yeah.